This is the Mike Lupica Podcast.
This podcast is great because your enthusiasms, it's why we've all been reading you for so long. This is a great vehicle for you to actually get to, in a long-form way, explore those enthusiasms, sometimes with the perspective of an additional 10 or 20 years.
Thanks for doing this today, pal.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The fun of this is I just talk to guys that I want to talk to.
That's what, to me, is such a blast about listening to your show.
First of all, the first time I ever saw Bernie on television, I started to talk like him as I was watching him.
Can you imagine the great Michael Jordan saying, hey, you know what? We can't beat the Pistons. Let me go join them. The essence of sports is about competition.
In-your-face questions.
How much of a dope is he?
Compelling.
A $1 billion industry, the biggest we've ever had in sports in this country, often comes down to a flip of the coin.
This is the Mike Lupica Podcast. Here's Mike Lupica.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Mike Lupica Podcast. Today, we are thrilled to be joined by the co-host of Morning Joe on MSNBC. He's a former congressman from the state of Florida. He is my pal, Joe Scarborough. But before we get started with Joe, a word from our sponsor, Geico.
Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Welcome back to the Mike Lupica Podcast, and we're always so happy to have Joe Scarborough on. We are neighbors. We are friends. He is a former MVP of the Lupica family Turkey Bowl touch football game, his proudest athletic accomplishment ever. But Joe, before we start, we have to tell a wonderful experience I had the other day with Jack Scarborough, who knows my books better than I do. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Jack's a huge fan, and he had a book report to do. And of course, when he got your new book, he immediately, that night, he was halfway through it and decided he wanted to do a book report and wanted to interview, actually, the author. And since, as you said, we're neighbors, that was pretty easy to arrange. And you were extremely, extremely nice, extremely generous with your time. And he held you for about 20 minutes and asked a lot of questions and unfortunately talked as much as his father. So you were very patient, and he was thrilled, and the teacher gave him an A. So he got an A.
He got an A. I'm behind the news. And Joe, I've told you this before, and I'm lucky enough to get to go on Morning Joe and talk about my books when they come out. It is so good for the soul to meet young men like Jack and to meet young readers. And when you feel like the whole world is turning to crap, that was the best 20 minutes of my whole week. And speaking of the world turning to crap, Mr. Scarborough, you constantly tell me that you believe the center will hold in this country. And is everything that's going on with the impeachment inquiry right now an indication to you that the center is holding?
Yes, it is. It's being pushed. But I think at critical times, you can look through the past 3 years and look through the challenges. And just like you can go back to Watergate and look at what happened at the Saturday Night Massacre. At critical times, patriotic Americans step up that actually have read the Constitution, understand the Constitution, believe the Constitution, will fight for and defend the Constitution. And it happened with Nixon in 73 and 74. And we've seen time and again at critical junctures where it's happened with this president as well. I do think that, well, I have little faith that there will be enough Republicans to actually convict Donald Trump in an impeachment. I am hearing from my friends in the Republican Senate that there is a growing concern. And what Trump doesn't have that Nixon actually had personal and political loyalty with members on the Hill. As you know, Nixon was a product of the Hill. He came into the class of JFK after the war and had fought for Republicans, campaigned for Republicans, been a loyal Republican for 30 years before impeachment. Donald Trump, when, you know, 10 years ago, Donald Trump was giving checks to Charlie Rangel and checks to Elliot Spitzer and checks to Anthony Weiner and, you know, contributed to Hillary Clinton 8 times, talked about what a great Secretary of State she was. He has no friends on Capitol Hill. I commented yesterday on the show that if you want to know how bad his standing is among his own Republican caucus, I have more friends in the Republican Senate than Donald Trump. And that's after 3 years of blasting Donald Trump and those same Republicans who have let him get away with too much. So I am confident that the center will hold. I am confident that you'll have more whistleblowers, that as it says in the Bible, that one day the truth will be shouted from the mountaintops and justice will be done.
Joe, of all the bizarre scenes we have seen in this White House, that performance yesterday with the president of Finland was one of the most extraordinary things I've ever seen. And Joe, you know, we were watching it. Taylor and I were watching it again on Morning Joe today. And when he would not answer Jeff Mason's question, I turned to Taylor and I said, there's a reason why he didn't answer that question. Because he could not, because he would have opened himself to all sorts of liability if he had even attempted to fumble through an answer. What did he want the president of Ukraine to do?
Right. Yeah. And as Jonathan Lemire or the Associated Press said, what you saw yesterday was Trump alone.
Yeah.
Anybody that was qualified, anybody that could have helped him out, anybody that could have worked, helped him work through this crisis, has left the White House. And so he's got sycophants that are incapable of giving him the sort of strategy that he needs. And he also, unfortunately for him, he just doesn't have the facts on his side. He's in a terrible position, and now you have Trump and his lackeys in the Trump media trying to cling to some procedural argument that's just ridiculous. Is, you know, I've said that those that are damned by facts have to try to distract people with procedure, but those procedural arguments are nonsense. And they're irrelevant because we all know that Donald Trump made the call to the Ukrainian president, asked him to do something that I believe is illegal, but even if it is not illegal, is certainly impeachable, where he's holding up military funding. And with that as a backdrop, he's telling the Ukrainian president that, you know, we've been very good to you. We need your help. And here are the three things that we need you to do. And it all had to do with the Ukrainian president digging up dirt on his political enemies. So that's any procedural problems they have with a whistleblower or Schiff are irrelevant because Donald Trump has admitted to the basis of the complaint. And in so doing, has, I think, damned himself to impeachment.
Joe, how about yesterday when he talked about the transcript? He said word for word and comma for comma. And then right there on the report, it said it is not a verbatim account.
How do his people allow him to go out and make a fool of himself like that every day? It shows you, when you and I knew Trump before he was president.
Yep.
It shows you what sort of alternate reality he lived in that corner office in Trump Tower, where he was always surrounded by yes men and women who allowed him to make up whatever he wanted to make up. And yeah, we all know it wasn't a word for word transcript. We all know it was just a White House summary. We want the word-for-word transcript. I think America needs to see the word-for-word transcript, and I suspect when we do, it's going to be far more damning than what the White House has already shown us. And by the way, Pompeo was on the call. You know, Pence aides were, I mean, there were a lot of people on that call who are going to have a lot to answer for when the transcripts come out.
Joe Scarborough is our guest on the Mike Lubega podcast. More with Joe in a moment, but first this from Kronos. Kronos knows that many organizations maintaining a modern workforce of hourly, full, and part-time workers, for them, it can be a challenge. This is especially true for human resources professionals working hard to attract and retain all the best talent. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping on a single cloud-based platform. It's one specially designed to give HR professionals supporting a blended workforce a whole new level of confidence. With it, they have everything they need to tackle nearly any human resources challenge and are empowered to not just find and hire the right people, but to engage, motivate, and reward them every single step of the way. Learn more about Kronos HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them, because Kronos is at heart a people business, at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Joe, when you and Mika get ready to do the show with a show that has sort of established a template for other shows like it now on cable news, and I don't want to sound too highfalutin about this because we are friends, but you must feel a tremendous responsibility every day at 6 a.m. to, you know, it's not a cliche to talk about speaking truth to power, but what you all are saying every day is as important as anything that is being reported in the New York Times or the Washington Post. And I always remind people to remember something. This man was a Republican. This man was a conservative Republican. When you first got on the air at MSNBC, that was part of your thing. You were the conservative Republican on that air. And now every day, you're the one trying to shout the truth from the mountaintops.
Well, I am a conservative. I'm still a conservative. My party, my former party, is no longer conservative. They have run up the biggest national debt ever, $1 trillion deficits, a Herbert Hoover-style protectionism that has wrecked the manufacturing industry and led to the worst manufacturing recession in a decade. They, unlike us, back when I was there, we pushed back on Russian expansion. We pushed back, on strongmen and autocrats who were trying to undermine democratic governments. And Donald Trump's just the opposite. But you are right. When we wake up, the thing that I used to love about the show is we just wake up, get to the show, have a lot of fun talking to people like, you know, Barnacle and Willie and you and other guests. And it was fun. We could sort of, as Donald Trump said in Art of the Deal, just show up and see what happens. Right. Unfortunately, in the age of Trump, we haven't had that luxury and haven't been able to do that. And Mika and I, for the first time in a decade, have had to stop and talk to each other the night before and say, okay, listen, we can't joke about this, or we have to be serious about that, or we can't overmodulate about the latest Trump scandal. We have to stay focused. We have to stay just a step behind the story, where we don't want to get out in front like somebody get out in front during the Mueller investigation.
Yes.
Let's let the facts play themselves out. And in part, we know we need to do that because we know the president watches the show every day. We know the White House watches the show every day. He's admitted as much, Donald has. We know that every senator tells me that the show's on in the Senate gym and in the House gym every morning.
Right.
People watch the show. And so we do understand, and also people in the media watch the show. I've been told by numerous people at the Times and the Wall Street Journal and all the media outlets, the Washington Post, that's the show that the influencers, a lot of the influencers watch. And so you are right. I can't get on the show and complain about the Red Sox for 9 minutes, 10 minutes anymore. Maybe 30 seconds before Mika takes control and takes us back to the news.
Every time yesterday, I actually called Taylor Lupica in and I said, before we get to the serious matters, Joe and Willie are talking baseball and I just want you to simply focus on Mika's face but you know what though, it's part of the contract with the show. We know how she's going to react, but it makes me laugh every single time.
Yeah, I mean, and speaking of that, we were talking about I almost said the Senators because I'm so old, but the Nationals comeback.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, but how great is it that Bryce Harper carries around, I'm sorry, I never found him to be a particularly likable ball player.
No!
He might be a great, great kid, but he seemed to be all about himself. And I remember asking last year, Barnacle and you and everybody, why in the world are the Phillies giving this much money to a guy that's only had one 100?
Yep.
100 RBI season. He's not really that good in the field. He doesn't have that good of a batting average. It was extraordinary. But I love that the Nationals actually have moved forward and actually the Phillies stayed at home, only because, again, that move was supposed to gut Washington. But, man, what a comeback. What a game.
He should have stayed there. I wrote this all along, Joe. He should have stayed there. And guess what? The kid who won the game on Tuesday night, who doesn't turn 21 until October 25th, he's a much better baseball player, Soto, than Bryce Harper is.
Yeah, I never understood the money that everybody wanted to throw at Bryce Harper. Mike Trout, yeah, whatever the guy wants, write the check. But not Bryce Harper. Speaking of which, if you don't mind us talking about baseball.
I'll talk Mookie. About whatever you want to talk about.
So, Mookie, I'm sure you hear, maybe it's been out in the press, I haven't read anything, but I hear they're thinking about a $340, $350 million 10-year deal for Mookie, which to me sounds about right.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. They can't let him, Joe, they can't let him go. And I think what they're counting on is that J.D. Martinez might leave. I think he would be wrong to leave because they could keep him. They've got options on him. But I don't think he's going to get a better deal out there. But there's no question, Joe, if you got to choose, you choose Mookie over J.D.
Yeah, you choose Mookie over J.D. That said, I would not go any higher than that.
No.
I know his agent wanted Trout money. As much as I love Mookie, he doesn't deserve Trout money. He had a great season last year, and if he'd had four or five of those seasons back-to-back, then, yeah, we could talk about that. But I think right now, $340 over 10 years may, for all the money he brings into the organization, may sound like the right deal. And I'd hate to see J.D. go, but, you know, there is a sort of mercenary nature to the guy where he's just looking for paychecks. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I like JD, but he did not seem to be as connected to the Red Sox organization as, say, Mookie or JBJ or some of the other guys.
And Joe, here's the thing about what you said, that you know you wouldn't go over 340 or whatever it is, and I agree with you. Okay, and if you're Mookie Betts and you're happy where you are, you have to understand something. I write about this all the time, Joe. The difference in money between, say, 340 and 360, okay, won't affect a single day of the rest of his life. Now, if he's only interested in breaking a record and keeping score against the other guys, Have at it. He has a right to do that. I always just think it's so stupid. Bryce Harper was happy with the Nationals, okay? Would he have gotten 330? Probably not. Would he have gotten 300? Probably.
Yeah. And look at Machado in San Diego. He came in last place. How fun is that? He could have gone other places. Could have done a deal with somebody where he was actually competing for the title. I'm selfish about Mike Trout. There's something about a guy wanting to stay with a team his entire career that's not going to make the playoffs. But I sure wish he would have come east so we could have seen that guy play. I've never seen him play a full game, and I don't know. Do you think he's the best player of our time, of our life?
Yes, I think he's the best player of our time. He is the closest thing. And, you know, we joke about this when we talk about sports with our children, okay? The way to glaze over the eyes of your children is to start talking about the good old days. But there are certain people whose names you must pass on to kids because it's like a sacred trust. Willie Mays is one of those names, Joe, okay?
Right.
Hank Aaron is one of those names. And Hank was different from Willie. I am honored to know Hank Aaron. Okay, you grew up loving Hank Aaron. But
he's my all-time sports hero.
But Mike Trout is the closest thing, the whole package, I have seen to Willie Mays. And that is why, Joe, you're right. He's stuck out there. He has played a grand total of 3 postseason games in his career. He has hit 1 postseason home run. I believe it's the only postseason hit he has. Joe, this would be like if LeBron James were at this point in his career and hadn't sniffed an NBA Finals. This is the shame of what is happening with Mike Trout. And he made, forget about the financial bet that they placed on Trout. He made a much bigger bet on the Angels that they're going to assemble the right team around him.
Well, and yeah, I mean, he could have obviously played anywhere. I heard he was going to come east and play for the Phillies. I would have even been excited about that. But, yeah, why did he stay out there? Why? I respect a guy that wants to stay at the same place, but my gosh, I never understood that. Do you know why he did?
No, I think he must like living there and playing there, and he must feel some loyalty to them. But man, oh man, 3 playoff games, 1 home run. Okay. And that's the thing. Joe, I want to get back to your business for a second. And
we'll get back to my business, but really quickly, just one more quick sports question for you. I woke up this morning, did not see the end of the game. I woke up surprised that the A's lost to Tampa. I mean, I know the Rays have a great coach. They have a great team. We're competitors with them, but I always respected that team. But I was surprised that I thought they were going to pull that one out last night.
Like, all right.
What happened?
Okay, here's what happens, and I will give you, as a Red Sox fan, a frame of reference on this, Mr. Scarborough.
Okay.
Remember, please, Game 7 of the 2008 American League Championship Series between the defending champs, the Boston Red Sox, and the Tampa Bay Rays, okay? Bringing this full circle. In a one-game season, you are defenseless if one of two things happens. If the other pitcher pitches the game of his life, or if your pitcher stinks. And Chamanea stunk last night. They jumped him for early home runs. They got into a home run. And again, Joe, it's like running into a hot goalie in hockey. Charlie Morton didn't even have his best stuff. But once again, in a deciding game, Charlie Morton was great. Remember what he did 2 years ago, Joe? He starts Game 7 against the Yankees and is great. And then he pitches the last 4 innings of Game 7 against the Dodgers in the World Series. And when you're up against something like that, it sometimes does, nothing else matters. This is a one game season is a unique thing. It's why, Joe, it's why I love the wild card game. That game Tuesday night that you were talking about with the Nationals and the Brewers. I mean, how great a baseball game was that?
Game. Can anybody stop the Astros and the Dodgers at the World Series?
Okay, I just wrote a column about this for MLB.com, Mr. Scarborough. And if one of those teams doesn't win the World Series this year, they will join an amazing list of teams who have won as many games as those two teams won this year and did not win the World Series. Okay. The all-time record holder is the Mariners in 2001. They won 116 and didn't win the World Series. They didn't even make the World Series. The 54 Indians. Go ahead.
54 Indians. Can I guess another one? The 54 Indians.
Yep.
Was it the 1906 Cubs?
Very good. Very good. 116 for them.
They lost to the hitless wonders, the White Sox.
Yeah. That's really good. And then the Atlanta Braves in 98 won 106, lost to the Yankees. The 69 Orioles won 109 and lost to the Miracle Mets. So we have 400 win teams. All right, before we get off baseball, because I love talking about baseball. Okay, let me ask you this. Who is feeling the most? What fan base is feeling the most urgency? Now, the Astros are different because they won 2 years ago and they think they should have won last year. Okay, that's one.
Right.
The Yankees have not been to a World Series in 10 years, which feels like 100 years to Yankee fans. And then there's the Dodgers. Joe, the Dodgers are trying to be the first team in nearly 100 years to lose back-to-back World Series and then come back and win the next year. It's something the Yankees did in the early 1920s. Who's got the most urgency this year?
It's got to be the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers don't want to be the Buffalo Bills of the MLB. So, listen, the thing about the Astros actually, I think if you talk to most Red Sox fans, we're still shocked, even with 108 wins, that we beat the Astros the way we did in the ALCS. So the Astros are just so good. And I think you've got to, if you're a Dodgers fan, you've got to be thinking, my God, we've had these incredible seasons. We had another incredible season this year, and we could get mowed down by the Astros again. I don't know who beats the Astros.
And, you know, here's the thing, Joe, and I'll leave you with this on baseball, okay? And it's why it's such a cruel sport, because the thing we love about it is the longest and best and most compelling regular season that there is in professional sports. You are tested for 6 months across 162 games. This is what I asked Dave Roberts about this, the Dodgers manager, who I really like a lot, yesterday. And he said, but remember something, winning 106 games is an amazing accomplishment. We understand the ultimate goal is to finish this season off with a championship. But what we did this season is something no Dodger team has ever done. That can never be taken away. Sometimes I think, Joe, when we get into this crapshoot of October, we lose sight of everything we just saw from the end of March on.
Yeah, that's sad. Only one thing matters.
Pat Riley. There's winning and there's misery.
Well, no, I'm talking about winning the World Series and having everything coming together at the right time. I can tell you, and it freaks Mika out, I can tell you every team that won the World Series in the 20th century and lost. But I can't tell you who had a great season, who had a great run and then blew it. I remember I had a friend who kept a couple of years ago. He was so excited because the Indians, what did they have, 21, 22, 23 game winning streak?
Yeah.
I was just sitting there going like, dude, if I were the coach, I would throw my worst relievers, lose a game at like 16 or 7. Just don't invest the emotional energy in July or August. It all starts, you know, September 10th, that's Heartbreak Hill. That's when you're getting ready to figure out whether you're going to win the thing or not. So I understand what he's saying, but if the Red Sox had won 108 games last year and then didn't make it to the World Series, you know, we'd all be complaining about it and it wouldn't matter. So I hear what Dave Roberts is saying, but he needs to win a World Series.
Okay, by the way, since I'm talking to someone who does know all the World Series winners, on that list of teams that won a ton of games and did not win the World Series, Joe, two of them got swept. The Indians in 54 and the Braves in 1998. They both got to the World Series and got swept. So that shows you how much of a crapshoot this thing can really be.
I mean, with the pitching rotation the Indians had in 54, it's just unbelievable that they got swept. Also, I mean, that Braves series was so ugly. God, that was so ugly. They got trounced by by the Yankees.
A completely forgettable World Series. All right, so here's what I want to ask you. And by the way, Joe Scarborough was nice enough to do this on his day off. I did not know when we had agreed to do this. It was he and Mika were taking the day off. Okay. Joe, I've been writing this for a couple of years, and I don't know if I've ever asked you about this. And people are now starting to actually say this out loud. If there had been a Fox News in 1974, I believe Nixon would have survived. And I want to know what you think.
Well, it's what I heard quite a few people say it. And we played a clip of Geraldo.
Unbelievable. He actually told the truth there, that Nixon could have gotten by with the Watergate burglary if he just had Sean Hannity. Holy crap, Joe.
I know. And he meant that as a compliment. He said, Sean, if Nixon had had you, he would have gotten away with Watergate. Well, I'm not so sure that was that should have been uttered out loud on Fox News. But I must say, because I'm a conservative, I have long been wary of all the liberals, I think, overhyping the power of Fox News. But I have seen over the past 4, 5, 6 years that it really has grown to such a degree that especially primetime. That they really just don't care about facts at all. They don't care about what the truth is. I can't watch it anymore. Mika still likes to watch it in prime time to see what some of the prime time hosts are saying. It depresses me too much. It makes me too angry. I just can't watch it. Just like I can't watch people who are blindly liberal and play with the facts. So, but no, I think Nixon would have gotten away with it. But I don't know that Trump does, because right now there are a lot of really good people at Fox News, a lot of really good journalists at Fox News. It starts with Shep Smith and of course, Chris Wallace is extraordinary. I still don't know why the Trump administration thinks they can go on Chris Wallace and think they're going to get a break, because he never gives anybody a break. He's a lot of his dad in him. How about Judge Napolitano, who time and time again tells the truth about Trump's legal problems, or Brett Baer? So there is a bit of a divide at Fox News right now, but it is distressing to me that there are a lot of people I know and a heck of a lot of people who voted for me when I was in Congress who take some of the primetime hosts in Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and Mark Levin and others, they take it as gospel when a three minute fact check on Google would prove that they're either not telling the truth are shading the truth to such a degree that they're only going to influence low information voters. But that's what they're doing. But I will say, Mike, that's 36, 37, 38% of the populace.
Right.
That's not enough to win the presidency. It wasn't enough to win the House of Representatives. And I don't think it'll be enough for Donald Trump in 2020.
And a reminder that today's episode of the Mike Lubega podcast with Joe Scarborough is being sponsored by Geico. Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me, because if it doesn't confuse me, it's not going to confuse you. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained insurance specialists 24/7. The company, of course, is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, damn it, I'm out of time.
Well, let me just leave you with this, Joe. Every time I've spoken at hundreds of schools over the last 15 years because of these books. And again, I was the one nervous with the interview with Jack, because when I went over, I said to Taylor, my wife, Jack Scarborough knows these books better than I do, so I hope he's not going to stump me with a question about one of my own books. Joe, yeah. I say this to the kids. At the end of the day, there's only two teams in the world. There's the team of people who want to make this world smarter and better.
Right.
And there's the other team which wants to make it dumber and meaner. So as your friend, I tell you, thank you, and you and Mika every day, and your merry band of men and women for trying to make the world a little smarter and a little better. And thank you for doing this today.
Well, thank you for all you do. And I will say, I have been surprised over the past 3 years that there are more people in that second category, in the latter category, than I suspected. I always surprise myself, even 56 years later, how naive I am, because I assume that most people, almost all people, are people of good faith, and they're doing what they're doing because they believe in it, whether I agree with them or not. That's just not the case right now with about 30-40% of the people who continue to support a president who's wildly out of control and dangerous.
Joe Scarborough, tell that boy yours. I want to see that paper. I want to see all he did to get that A. Okay, tell him I want to see it.
Okay, we'll do it. Thank you so much, Mike. We can't thank you enough.
I'm glad we talked baseball. That man has more baseball in him than almost anybody I know. And the fun of this is these conversations go where you want them to go. And I'm glad we brought it back to the stuff that's going on at Fox News at the end. Oh, man, knowing Joe and getting to talk to guys like Joe is the fun of doing this. You hear it just on my end every single week, twice a week. Go to Spotify, go to Stitcher, go to Apple Podcasts, go to Pandora, wherever you get your podcasts, and continue to download, subscribe, give us a good rating, leave a comment. We don't care. And guess what? We'll talk to you next week, everybody.
The Mike Lupica Podcast is produced and distributed by Compass Media Networks in conjunction with Hiltzik Creative. For iPhone users, go to the podcast app and search the Mike Lupica Podcast. Click on the Mike Lupica Podcast icon and subscribe. For non-iPhone users, you can listen on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your preferred podcast platform.